Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
And a pleasant good afternoon and a beautiful Friday afternoon it is. Welcome to Fans in the Pro. Mike Haas will be joined by the best color analyst in the NFL, Deuce McAllister, in just a little bit. Charlie Long in the booth for this afternoon, 4 o'clock till 6 o'clock for Fans in the Pro. Then it'll be the Brian Kelly Show, and then big night for high school football, the Manning Family Children's Prep Football Roundup at 7 o'clock. So at 4:30 this afternoon, we will talk to the man, Steve Tasker. Yes, the former Buffalo Bill. He was drafted by Houston, Charlie, in the 9th round. Immediately you go, oh, okay. Played 12 years, was part of all, you know, the Super Bowl teams, but we'll get his thoughts. He's a One Bills Live, WGR Radio, at Steve Tasker 89. Look forward to talking to him. Then at 5:20, we'll talk LSU and Ole Miss. Chris Gordy, Locked On, the SEC host, at Chris Gordy. LSU and Ole Miss tomorrow, both of them unbeaten. And, you know, all you really want is you want a victory. You give me some entertainment like 23 and 24, right? Those games, try. I mean, unbelievable.
I can't wait for this weekend of college football. Mike, we did our pick six yesterday. Mike, Steve, myself, Bobby, we do it every single week. This is the best college football week I've seen in a while. If you compile just not just LSU versus Ole Miss, but also Alabama and Georgia, Penn State and Oregon, it's all these great matchups. And that's just three of the top 25 matchups. There's other top 25 matchups as well, like a USC-Illinois game, and then other really fun conference games. Tomorrow's going to be great, man. And the LSU-Ole Miss game is probably the most anticipated one for me personally, because I can't wait to watch Blake Baker's defense go against Lane Kiffin's offense. Top 10 defense in the country, top 10 offense in the country. You want to talk about two great units butting heads? It's going to be awesome.
I would not think that anybody would use any defensive game film from the last 2 years, right? So in 2023, 1,343 yards of offense in that crazy game in 23. And then in 2024, when LSU came back, win in overtime, 29-26, that game had 885 yards of total offense. So two games, last two between LSU and Ole Miss have brought on 2,228 yards of offense.
Mike, I'm buying into the hype that Garrett Nussmeier is getting healthy. You know, Coach Kelly's talked about it all week, starting from the Monday presser, that he obviously was feeling a lot better in that Southeastern game. That's why he looked so good versus what he looked like in those first 3 weeks. And then, you know, as you progress through the week, you hear, I used it in the sports flash there just a second ago, Coach Kelly talking about how comfortable he feels coming off that torso injury that he suffered at fall camp. And they really haven't unlocked the dimension of the deep passing game in this offense. And that's something that Nussmeier can obviously do. We saw it all last year. And it's something that LSU has the weapons that they can stretch the field offensively with Nussmeier's arm. So if he is legitimately getting to that point where he is 100%, and I know that he may not necessarily be 100%, but it sounds like he's getting closer and closer to that point. And if he can sling it against this Ole Miss defense, and if Ole Miss's defensive line, which has replaced a ton of pieces from last year's team, can't really get after him, you can see Nussmeier and this LSU offense put up some big points again. It's going to be a matter of, you know, how does this LSU defense fare probably against their toughest task of the season in this Ole Miss offense?
Right. I think it's hard to quantify both teams 4-0 record, right? I mean,
yeah.
Clemson first week, then you got, you know, Louisiana Tech, Florida, Southeastern. So it's difficult. And Kentucky and Arkansas for Ole Miss, that Tulane win was big points. I was not expecting that. But so I think it's hard to really kind of look at both 4-0s and go, well, you know, yeah, you know, the Clemson win has a little shine taken off of it. But, man, it's going to be – you're right. Great weekend. Begins tonight. Huge Saturday. And then Sunday, really, you got Washington and Atlanta, big game, because it's always the NFC South. Philadelphia, 3-0, at Tampa, 3-0. Here's the surprise game. Baltimore at Kansas City, both 1-2 Sunday afternoon. So it's going to be, I think if Tampa Bay wins this game and Baker Mayfield does what he's been doing, you know, they've started 2-0 all the time. We're used to that. 3-0 is a bit of a surprise. I mean, they could be 0-3. I mean, this team could be 0-3. Right? I mean, it's last second drives, especially the Houston game. Houston almost handed them
ripped
that
my heart out for pick six that week.
I remember that. Yeah, you had Houston.
Yeah, I had Houston. And then I had Atlanta in the first week, and then Younghoe Koo misses the field goal to tie it to potentially send it to overtime. And that's after Baker Mayfield had led that game-winning drive. So Mayfield's been doing it, man. I mean, Mike Dettillier continues to say over and over again, he's the difference in the NFC South, and he really is. I mean, that is the gap between starting 0-3 and starting 3-0 is having a quarterback in crunch time that you can really, really count on. And he's delivered time after time again. So, yeah, I mean, I'd still go with – we didn't pick that game yesterday. I decided instead to go with the primetime game with the Packers at the Cowboys and Micah Parsons' return to Dallas. I think that's a really fun game as well.
Green Bay, Dallas. I forgot about it.
The Cowboys did not look good this past week against Chicago, and they lost their best weapon. So I'm kind of expecting the Packers to roll in that game. And Micah Parsons is going to be a terror on that defensive line. So we'll see what happens. But as far as, you know, the Eagles and the Buccaneers, Mike, the Eagles' comeback against the Rams last week, obviously I wasn't watching it because Fox wasn't carrying it here. It was carrying the Raiders-Commanders game, right? So we weren't necessarily keeping up with it play-by-play, but we have the stats sheet that we can use for every single NFL game. And I was just watching the ticker, and it was 26-7 for the Rams. I'm like, what the heck is happening? And then all of a sudden, the Eagles start coming back. They start coming back. They take the lead, 27-26. What is going on? And then the blocked field goal at the end of the game, and they end up winning and covering as well, which was really fun. it's going to be a fun game as well. I expect the Eagles to take care of business, though. I think in that comeback, you maybe learned a little bit of something about that Philadelphia Eagles team, where they very well could have lost that game to the Rams, but they end up pulling it off.
You talked about it in your report, and so we knew Chase Young and really Dylan Raidenze. I didn't think either one would play just from listening to Coach earlier in the week. Devon Vele, we'll see. Really, for Buffalo, having Matt Milano out, he's got a pec injury in week two. Also, Ed Oliver, man, that's really hurt their run-stopping ability. How about Ed Oliver? So they start out practice week two, right? They just beaten Baltimore in the last second field goal, and then a teammate steps on his foot and he hurts his ankle. And that's why Ed Oliver has missed weeks two and three, and now he's going to, you know, miss four. And Spencer Brown, who has been limited, also questionable, and defensive end Al Epinesa, also questionable. He's got one of their three turnovers. So, well, I mean, if you're Buffalo, you can easily understand Sean McDermott going, well, we got New England next week.
Right.
Do we bring him back?
Well, look at the AFC East as well, Mike. Is there anyone that's going to come close to Buffalo in that division? Miami's in the dumps. The Jets are in the dumps consistently. Everyone was thinking, oh, maybe, you know, New England could be a surprise team this year. They're off to a 1-2 start. The Buffalo Bills are going to run away with that division. I would be surprised if they picked up a single division loss. I know division games are interesting, and they can always be surprise matchups because you play a team twice a year, but Buffalo is just better than everyone in the AFC East.
I have spent way too much time watching Buffalo this week. It's disheartening.
They're legit, Mike.
They do a lot of things well, and they do a lot. They just do it a lot. And so we'll talk more about it. Deuce McAllister, Mike Cost, take a quick break. This is Fans in the Pro on this beautiful Friday afternoon. Back after this on WWL, AMFM.com, always free on the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister with you. I want to shout out to Magazine Pizza for feeding our Saints game day crew. Magazine Pizza, 1068 Magazine. Dine in or delivery, the best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza also has pastas, sandwiches, wings, and salads. MagazinePizza.com. And hot off the football field, Deuce McAllister, man, watches more football in person than most even watch on television. How are you?
Doing well, and I had to cut back.
I mean, the predicted 100 in person before January. That's tough to maintain.
I had to cut back. I mean, life's life start life in a little bit, and then you're just like, man, I'm spending a lot of time coming up and down the highways in Mississippi and Louisiana, and it's just like, you know what? Maybe I can catch this on YouTube or what's the video, Huddle, or you know, some of the school channels. And yeah, but I probably won't hit 100. Probably more on track for high 70s.
Still pretty impressive. Two today, because as soon as you leave here, you're going back to with a game that you started with. And so we're talking Saints and the Bills in Buffalo, 1 o'clock there, noon here. Weather not a factor. In fact, it's supposed to be like 75, 77 degrees. It's going to be 84 here. So let's bring in Steve Tasker, former Buffalo Bills All-Pro, 7-time Pro Bowl, now the host of One Bills Live on WGR Sports Radio 550 and MSG, at Steve Tasker 89. Steve, welcome to the show. You're on with Mike Haas and the great Deuce McAllister.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it. Looking forward to the game.
Well, your team is pretty impressive. I've watched all of the games. When even for a home team, to be 3-0 and to come out Monday 16.5-point favorites, that's just a lot to digest. And I've watched your team. They are every bit as good as advertised at 3-0. Without Ed Oliver, without Matt Milano, both ruled out again, is that like the only Achilles heel for this team right now, is really kind of the ability to stop the run consistently?
Well, that's been – yeah, it's the defensive side. The offense is – with Josh Allen and the guys they got and the way they're running their offense, they're a wagon right now. They can go all the way from 13 personnel with three tight ends on the field or go spread out and go four wide with a running back in the backfield and win that way too. It's, yeah, their offense is a wagon. Defensively, they've had some problems. Pretty first and second down, they've been pretty good, but they cannot get a team off the field in third down. I'm kind of with you. I saw the 16.5-point spread early in the week. I was like, I don't know.
Felt like a college game.
I've been watching, you know, like you, I've watched the Saints, and I don't see the Saints too much, but I've watched all three of their games, and they don't seem like that far away. I mean, I'm kind of liking what I'm seeing from Spencer Rattler. Certainly he's got a ways to go, but he's got a live arm. He's an aggressive, courageous quarterback. I don't think the Saints have played their best football yet, but I think they're on their way towards it. So, yeah, I'm with you. Now, the Bills are a tough team to beat because you do kind of have to keep up with them on the scoreboard. and their defense is really opportunistic. And as good as it, as bad as the defense can look at times, they are pretty consistently, they give a full effort all the way through 60 minutes. And they are really good at turning out turnovers, which is usually an unpredictable stat. But over the past 3 or 4 or 5 years, they've been at the top five of the league every single year and getting turnovers. So there's, they've got that working for them. But I think that's what you think about when you see this Bills team play. They're a tough out on offense. And defensively, though, you might feel like you can maybe keep up with that offense here and there.
Steve, I got two questions. This is Deuce for you. I got two questions, and one is just the quarterback and how special he is of a player. And it seems like as more people kind of bring him up to the top, kind of where he has been, you know, when you have all of the elite quarterbacks, you look at Allen and said, all right, yeah, he is that good. How has he been able to kind of handle the pressure and the added, hey, the spotlight's on me? You know, I am not only the face of the Buffalo Bills, but, you know, I'm one of the faces of the NFL.
Deuce, I got to tell you, he's a special guy. He's unbelievable. He's just the same guy now that he was as a rookie coming in. Obviously, he's learned a bunch of stuff about playing quarterback since then. But he's the same kid he was when he's going to high school or in Fireball, California. He's just a really down-to-earth guy. He loves his team, loves his teammates. He puts his arms around all the guys on the roster. That's the way he lives his life, and he's the same guy today as he was 5 years ago and 8 years ago and 10 years ago. So that his comfort in being himself is really what has carried him through and allows him to kind of handle all that stuff you mentioned really, really well. And of course, when he gets on the field, Deuce, I've never seen anybody like him. He's unbelievable. I mean, he's like a John Elway, kind of a physical freak athlete, big, tall, rangy, huge arm, who can run with anybody on the field. And over the course of the last 3 or 4 years, he's gotten to the point where he can just stand in the pocket and beat you. He didn't have to use his wheels at all. He has worked very hard to improve his game, and you can see it when he comes out. The way they run their offense is this thing they call everybody eats. They don't have a number one guy. Josh throws it to the guy who's got the best matchup and who wins. He doesn't get impatient, try to throw it down the field just to stop getting first downs. He doesn't, you know, crave the big play. He knows if he hits him short on the right area, they'll turn it upfield and get a big play. He's as good a quarterback right now as I've ever seen in this city, and that includes my good friend Jim Kelly. This guy's a different animal, and he has elevated the entire organization because of his play.
Yeah, and that's high praise, and I think that it's definitely accolades that he deserves. And, you know, one of the my other question that I had for you, the rules of special teams for a guy like yourself that, you know, kind of cut his teeth in that area, what are your thoughts on not only from the kickoff return rules, but just how they have not eliminated special teams completely, but, you know, how they've tried to make it a little bit more exciting? And then your take on, you got kickers that can kick from 65 yards but can't consistently sometimes hit from 40 within.
Yeah, they changed the kickoff, you know, 5-10, I don't know when it was. I was in the room when they had the kickoff summit, and they stopped letting guys get a running start. And at that point, Troy Vincent, the vice president of football operations for the league, said, listen, we are committed to keeping the foot in the game. So they knew they weren't going to just do away with the kickoff completely, but they had to change it a lot because of the injuries. You know, you had guys, you know, guys like me and you running down, busting up a wedge, and the wedge coming back at them, and there's guys running full speed at each other, and nobody's trying to avoid contact. So it was a train wreck. They did away with that. They lined guys up, let them all run down there together. And then when they moved this year, when they moved the touchback to the 35, that changed everything. Teams are putting the ball in play. They've made it a dynamic play once again. And they've really gotten it back to more like it was when I was playing, you know, 25 years ago, when a guy can really make a difference by making a great play on special teams. For a long time, the best plays on special teams were because of some catastrophic mistake by the other team. No, you know, no matter how well you played, it was just too easy to keep you from doing something good for your team. Now, with the kickoff back in the game, it's back in play again. And I think it's been a lot of fun to watch. You've seen a lot of games turn on it. I know that the Saints had a nightmare of a start there in Seattle this last week with the punt return, the block punt, and the kick return that got it back past midfield. And that's a bad day. But it's also one of those days where, hey, you can fix that stuff. And I'm sure that they're working hard to do that.
Yeah, and Steve, I have to clarify, I agree with you. That was a very, very bad day. I mean, and some of the, you know, when you're giving a lineman, and, you know, whether it's my wing or whether it's my up back, and we don't count it right. You know, you leave a short corner, that spells problem. But I do want to clarify one thing. You were the madman that were running down and busting up the weds. For me,
you never got the short straw.
I did not get. You're exactly right. I never got that short straw. I was going to be a safety, or hey, you better go try to. I wanted to go make the tackle. I knew I didn't have enough. I didn't have enough in me to go and say, oh yeah, I want to take on that wedge. It's three of them. I can do that. That was you that were the madman. So I want to give you your props there, sir.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's a little bit like being the world's best ditch digger, too, so not much glory in it.
Well, Steve, this is an interesting story. I hope that I will get to a question at the end of it, because when I tell the story, it's information, and I think most people are going to go, well, you're talking about some 0-3 team, not the Buffalo Bills, and it's special teams, right? Your kicker, Tyler Bass, hurt. So a practice squad elevation, Matt Prater, who's 41 years old, is signed to the active roster. He's a Saturday PSE elevation, kicks the game winner. So you're still waiting. Bass is on IR. His fourth game will be this week. But, you know, I don't think people know that the guy that won the game was a PSE on Saturday. So hold on. And then your punter, you have this big battle in training camp. Brad Robbins against Jake Camarda. He was a draft pick for Tampa. We know him well. So they have this huge battle. Robbins wins, goes into the first game, doesn't punt well, has a net of 38. They release him, but they don't sign the guy he was in the battle with, Camarda. They sign Cameron Johnston, who comes in, you know, to punt. And so you've got this weird special teams, like, what's going on? And who are you talking about? That's the 3-0 Buffalo Bills. I mean, some of that stuff, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a little bit of a revolving door, and a little surprising, too. When they had the punter competition between Robbins and Camarda, Robbins clearly won the job, no question about it. So that's why they didn't bring Camarda back. Robbins was just that much better. But when they got in the game, it seemed like Robbins just fell off, just lost it a little bit, lost his mental edge. It's a club that doesn't punt that much, I got to be honest with you. But I think when they cut, I don't want to make it fun. I don't make
that hurts a little bit.
You know, me being a special teams guy, I don't want to make light of it. But I think the most important thing that the Bills punter does is hold for field goals and make sure he can do that good. So they brought him in. They got him going, and they've been pretty happy with his production so far. For the kicker, Matt Prater, they wanted to bring a guy in. They knew that they were going to be in some one-score games. The Bills, for a minute there was 44 games, regular season games, before the Bills lost by double digits. They are always in one-score games, even, you know, when they're not playing well. They're a hard team to run off and leave. So they knew they needed a steady guy who had been around, and whatever moment they were going to stick him into, it wasn't going to be too big for him. So here comes Matt Prater, who's been doing it for 18 years. You knew he's seen it all, and they felt confident plugging him in. The amazing thing about it is, I met the guy, talked to him for a hot minute, and he looks like a third grade math teacher, man. I mean, he is short, skinny, and gray haired, and I mean, I'm okay, you know, but he's got a live leg still, and he's cool as a cucumber, and his process is pure and he puts it down the middle. So you're right. That's been a little bit of a scrambled egg, kind of a roster situation there with the special teams, the specialists. But the new special teams coordinator, Chris Tabor, has brought a little bit of stability to that, and he handles those guys, has handled those guys, even though they haven't had a long relationship. He's handled that crew pretty well, and I think they've been fairly happy with the way their special teams has performed. They've given up one or two kickoff returns, but I think most teams have, because of the fact that they're seeing more of it, and just by statistics, you're going to get a long one now and again because there's so many more returns this year.
Yeah, and you guys kick off so many times. I think he's Prater's kicked off 20 times.
Right? Yeah, so that's the one thing about, I think when Josh is all done, said and done, Josh Allen, that is, when he's all said and done with his career, I think he's going to have a mountain of touchdowns. That's what that guy does. They score a ton of touchdowns with him at quarterback.
Yeah, so you're right. So in week one, there was a 41-yard return. Week two against the Jets, 33. And then Miami had 54. And to Deuce's point, Prater's only missed one, but it was a 39-yarder. And frankly, it was, if you golf, it was a pulled duck hook that barely made the stands. It was like,
yeah,
whoa.
It was really ugly. You almost think, like, did he fall down when he kicked that? And so it was a bad miss. And comes back later in the game, and he kicks an extra point, hits a good field goal at the end to win it.
Yep.
Like nothing.
That's right.
Man, oh, man.
You got to have a short memory.
Woo,
and
yeah.
Cameron Johnson says, he calls up, Prater goes, hey, man, I just got signed. Where is everything? He goes, Prater goes, I don't know. I just got here. Yeah. I don't know where anything is.
That's right. Yeah, the two of the, they're brand new dudes, but they've got a really good culture here. Sean McDermott has a protocol and a way to to acclimatize these guys and get them acclimated to this culture. It's a very close-knit group in that locker room. It starts with Josh Allen, James Cook, Matt Milano, Ed Oliver, those guys that have been around. It's a very close-knit group. Even guys on the practice squad, they brought some old veteran guys back, like Gabe Davis, Jordan Poyer, guys back in, Jordan Phillips, a big defensive lineman, guys who have been here, but they don't expect to have to play, but are culture guys. And it has it makes a big difference when you're kind of churning a little part of your roster to make those guys feel like they belong.
Well, we appreciate greatly your time this afternoon. All Pro Special Teamer, host of One Bills Live on WGR Sports Radio 550 at Steve Tasker 89. Thanks. We'll see you on Sunday, and have a great day.
Be good, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Steve.
Played a long time, man. Draft pick originally from Houston. I didn't know this. I was told Charlie earlier, it was in the 9th round. If that gives you an indication of.
Yeah, they don't go that long.
They don't go that.
That's him and Fast Freddy.
I mean,
that's Fast Freddy territory right there, playing a long time, and both of them cutting their teeth as, special team players. But he was a heck of a ball player.
Yep. Be back after this. Fans in the Pro. My call is Deuce McAllister. Charlie Long in the booth here on WWLAMFM.com. Stay with us. Welcome back. Don't forget LSU and Ole Miss tomorrow in Oxford. Start your game day early, 10 a.m. with Mike Dettillier and Herb Tyler on the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgate Show. We'll open the doors at Acme Oyster House in Baton Rouge at 11 a.m. Come out and count down to the big game at Acme with 16 surround sound TVs and all the best drink specials. It's a great place to hang out for LSU and college football. All thanks to the good folks at MAP Construction. And then at 12:30, catch LSU's official pregame show. Kickoff is at 2:30. The voice of the Tigers, Chris Blair, and his analyst, Jacob Hester. Tigers and the Rebels tomorrow. WWL streaming live and always free on the Odyssey app. And I think we'll have to do this one on the plane again, because this is like the last time the Buffalo played. We were flying to Seattle. By the time we got there, the game was over. And it's a 2:30 start, so it should be interesting. What do you like? Do you get involved? What do you?
On which part?
LSU Ole Miss.
I like the matchup. I like Ole Miss in the matchup.
Yeah.
If it was in Baton Rouge, then I would probably like LSU. It both teams are, I don't want to call it evenly matches, but there's some strengths for both teams, but I think being at home probably gives Ole Miss the advantage in that situation.
But got to take a quick break. But before we go, because I mentioned this earlier, just because it's just astounding. Because in the 23 game, 55-49, Ole Miss, and in the 24 game, total offensive yards, both games, 2,228. That's two games.
Yeah.
Two games.
I don't like to talk gambling, but Lane Kiffin online, he was talking about something else not related to quote-unquote football. I think it's his girl, his daughter's
dating,
relationship.
Yeah.
And he made the comment of betting the over. So that tells you probably what you want to. And if you're in that world, tell you all you need to – you want to hear and need to hear.
Oh, my gosh. Wouldn't you love that to have to, talk, to go out there and talk to the media about your girlfriend, your daughter's boyfriend? Man, oh, my Lord.
He and she kind of knew it because of social media.
Yeah.
They both put it out there.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like, hey, we want to keep it quiet.
You got to confront it when that happens.
Yeah. We got to keep this quiet. It's, you know, no, it's open for the world.
Take a break. Fans in the Pro, Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister back after this. Stay with us. Welcome back, Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister, Charlie Long in the booth here on wrapping up our first hour of Fans in the Pro. Lots more coming your way. In the second hour, we'll talk to Chris Gordy at 520, locked on the SEC host, as we'll get a little deeper dive into LSU and Ole Miss, a couple of 4-0 teams going at it. We'll talk about some other state schools in action and what they have coming up on a beautiful Friday night for high school football. 6 o'clock, it's the Brian Kelly Show, and then at 7 o'clock, it's the Manning Family Children's Prep Football Roundup. Getting close to October. Doesn't feel like it, but we're getting close to it on the calendar. So a lot more coming your way. Keep it right here on Fans in the Pro. The news is coming up next. Stay with us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.